Hello and welcome to Dream Freedom Beauty. I'm your hostess, Natalie Ross, and this week's guest is Rama, all the way from Asheville, North Carolina. And today we get into what it means to connect with and work with and partner with rocks and crystals and stones. And this is a deep love and passion of Rama's. And I'm so excited to bring you this conversation so that you might find kinship in sharing her passion for this, and perhaps you will learn some new things and get inspired to connect with your rocks and crystals in a whole new way. And I want to extend a big thank you to our latest Patreon supporters, Lauren Harwin and Hannah Sadler. Thank you so much for your support and helping us to have this show produced. You keen observers and repeat listeners may have noticed that there is a new image in the iTunes and Android podcast apps. And yes, it is true. It is a new image. This was lovingly co-created by me, the spirits of Dream Freedom Beauty, and the amazing Stina Sweezy of Mother Mountain Herbals. She's not a graphic designer. She's an herbalist. But she was willing to help bring this vision into form, and here it is. And on that topic, I definitely want to encourage you all to go check out Stina's Instagram, because I love her pictures. She's got an amazing eye for light and beauty, and also she's got an amazing heart and voice for expressing the truth of what she's feeling and experiencing. And she recently posted about death and grief, and it was a great post that got a lot of people inspired, and the comments are even a great. So go check her out. And besides that, she's a great, amazing herbalist with beautiful, wonderful products to nourish your mind, body, and soul. So check her out, Mother Mountain Herbals on Instagram. And I'm going to put her popsicle recipe on my website. I gushed about it in last week's episode, so you can go to dreamfreedombeauty.com and check out this recipe for yourself and make it, because it's so dang good. Okay, everybody, enjoy the show. Welcome to the show, Rama, coming all the way from Asheville.
Thank you, Natalie. It's a pleasure to be here with you on this beautiful afternoon.
It is a gorgeous day in North Carolina today, and I'm 4 hours away from you, but it's got to be, you know, that those weather systems that have been showering us with rain have cleared, and now, I don't know about over there, but here it's one of those crisp, beautiful days. How about you?
Yeah, we still have a bit of clouds, and we might be getting more rain. We've gotten a lot of rain, and it actually feels kind of like early spring today. It's about 55 degrees. So it's a cozy day. I know. I'm actually happy about it, because it gets so hot in the summer.
It gets so hot in the dirty South. Oh. Well, so I'm really excited to talk with you more, because we've been in ceremony together a couple times, but we haven't really gotten to connect. And both times we've connected via ceremony with the Contumble and Liv Wheeler. And so I know you are a super nature connected person, and I just love your energy of what you carry and how you bring that to the space of ceremony and gathering. So I'm excited to get to know you a little better.
Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here with you. And wow, I just are already like in my body feel so much is here with us in this space too. So thank you for the way you honor spirit and how you create, you know, you've created a whole community around this and around nature and the spirits of nature. And it's just such a gift for humans at this time. So thank you, Natalie.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Do you want to lead us on an invocation to welcome in that presence of, you know, whatever it is? I love hearing everyone's different invocation styles.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Okay, so if you are somewhere where you can close your eyes safely, please do so now and begin to notice your breath and how your seat is in your body, and if you can, possibly adjust that seat so you can come and sit up a little more tall. Maybe even slightly tuck the chin in towards the chest to lengthen up through the back of the neck and allow the gaze of the eyes to roll up to the space between the two eyebrows, the third eye. And from here, really, really tuning into the breath, consciously deepening and lengthening with each inhale. And each exhale. And from here, we're going to imagine, we're going to go on a little journey here. We're going to imagine this beautiful red light coming out from the base of the spine, possibly even the soles of the feet and the palms of the hands, if you feel called. And this light, this red light, is going to spiral down into the earth. So you're going to go down through the grass. Even if you're in a building, you'll imagine grass below you. And then continue to go down through the layers of soil and continue to go down, down, down. And we're going to connect all the way down into the crystal core of Gaia. This hematite large crystal. And we're going to connect in with this essence of the great grandmother stone, hematite. So, as you continue to breathe and continue to feel your energy down, know that this connection to the source, to the great mother, the great grandmother, is always here and available at any time. And it only takes a few seconds to plug in. However, it's really beautiful if you can at least once a day go outside and stand on the ground barefoot and even take this meditation with you into that space physically on Mother Earth. And hematite offers us this unconditional love. It's the original root core medicine. And it's so nourishing. And also has a resonance with the belly button, as when we're in the womb. As we're developing, we are connected to our mothers through our belly buttons. And so, hematite, her message teaches us that each and every single one of us deserves to live and that we are fundamentally supported by the multiverse. And so, let's take some moments breathing and just feeling this love. This nourishment from hematite. She even has the ability to heal any sort of disorder or addiction, anytime we were ever rejected in our lives, which happens to all of us, no matter what kind of upbringings we've had. And so, hematite, her medicine works to heal those spaces so we can fill it up with this iron-rich red energy, this life force. And as we fill up this space, it gives us an ability to really attract and call everything that will make our lives juicy and passionate and full of bliss and abundance to ourselves. So take a couple more long, deep breaths here, really creating that inhale and that exhale of an exchange with hematite. And we'll take one more deep breath in together. And exhale. And then feel yourself coming back up from the earth and coming back into your physical body, consciously aware and present. Are you with me, Natalie?
I am. Oh my gosh, that was like so far out and so grounding. I think I was just like in it. I was just in it. Oh, thank you. Wow. Okay, I love that. Yeah, coming back. That was really nice. Thank you.
I love hematite. She's like one of my favorite stones. And I'm just so grateful for her medicine. I think it's really important for us during these times, particularly because we're taking in so much energy and our planet is going through so much change. And when we can connect into hematite, it will help us calibrate all of that change and transformation.
Interesting. And when you say calibrate that, do you mean like help us set our new, like create new set points that are aligned with how this change and transformation is happening?
Exactly. Yes. Beautifully said.
I have a background in science, so.
I know you do, and I love that about you.
Like, ooh, calibrate, talk to me more. Oh, wow. And so something that is really one of your hallmarks of something that's interesting is your love for and connection with the stones. And I love that you live in those ancient Appalachian mountains and work with the stones. And I always see you doing classes in the salt cave. I'm like, wow, this is cool. So can you describe for us your relationship and connection with the stones? I know that's kind of a big question, but
it's such a big question. So, I mean, you know, it just feels like that connection is my connection to life. I don't really know how else to really explain it by honoring the stones other than to say that I just feel like the connection has always been with me. Now, I may not have been totally conscious about it, but I think a part of me was, even when I was not fully aware. I just know when I think back to my childhood, stones and plants and being in nature were such a part of what made me feel alive and real. When I was in other realms, like playing a game, like a board game or watching TV, I didn't really feel alive or real. Mm-hmm. Like that felt like illusion. And I felt that from a small age. You know, I could feel the delineation.
Interesting. That's quite a point of awareness, you know, for to feel that at that young age and continue with that awareness.
Yeah. And I also think back to it was about when I was 14 or so. I lived in Eastern North Carolina. I've moved quite a bit in my life, and so I grew up moving about every 3 years of my life and lived in almost every state of the Southeast, and also lived in Germany as a small child. And it was when I was 14 that we moved to Eastern North Carolina. And my mom was having a great awakening. It had begun a few years before that, but she was taking Kundalini yoga, and she was a hypnotherapist, and we bought our food from a buying club. We were buying organic food and like Dr. Bronner soap, and no one knew what organic was then. You know, this was like the early 90s.
Where in North Carolina were you?
Goldsboro, North Carolina.
Oh, goodness gracious. I have spent lots of hours doing research there. So,
really?
And that, yeah, that's where my entire graduate research project was, at CEFS.
Wow.
And I can share with our listeners, this Goldsboro is like not with the times.
No, not at all. Not at all. And then on top of that, like, my dad was in the military, and we were living on a Air Force base, which it was the first time in my life that we lived on an Air Force base. Most of my father's career, we always lived off base. And even when we were in Germany, we lived in, you know, the town, and I spoke a little bit of German, and I knew all of our neighbors, and I would go play. Like, it was so safe. I could go to the park, which was probably about a quarter to half a mile away from where we lived, and I would just walk over by myself and go play. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Goldsboro, such a different reality. And anyways, one of the things my mom found was a spiritual community, and I would go with her, and we would meditate, and I was gifted. I remember there was a man that I met who had a past life reading, and he had discovered him and I were like brother and sister in a past life. And he gave me this beautiful piece of malachite, and I still have that malachite today. And that was just such, there was something that really got unlocked in my memory with that gift. Hmm. And there were other people in that group, and crystals were involved, but I mean, we would go and lie out in fields and gaze at the stars and talk to the Pleiades. And this is what I would do for fun.
Wow. That is so far out for like early 90s Goldsboro, North. Oh my, it can happen anywhere. That is such an inspiration. I love that. You don't have to be in California.
No, you don't have to be anywhere other than where you are.
Planet Earth.
Yeah, planet Earth. It's all happening.
Wow. And so your mom was like really forward thinking. That's incredible. And so then this gift of this malachite stone was like, you were only 14, and this was unlocking something. And can you describe like what it unlocked? Can you put words to that?
Well, the stone itself is kind of shaped like a big eye. Mm. And so I spent a lot of time gazing and holding it. But I just feel like receiving that stone, it was an initiation. And it's so interesting. I know we were talking a little bit before we started recording, and initiation has come through in our conversation. I think I've said it three times now, and it just seems like such a powerful theme for today, particularly. But I really felt like that stone and him giving me that stone was an initiation. And he was older, he was married, he had two kids, and I was 14, and his children were like, I think 3 and 6. Mm-hmm. So, his family ended up moving down to South Carolina about a month to 2 months after we met. So I didn't have an extended interaction with him. It was almost like he was there to give me that stone. And that was our contract for this lifetime. Like, that was it. And I haven't ever seen him since. But yeah, it was really powerful. And then over time, you know, more and more stones would come to me. I mean, I had had crystals prior to that, but nothing that was that significant in that way.
So fast forward to now, you work with stones in your daily life and in your, I mean, I've been to your house and I've seen some of your stones, and they're incredible. And I'm wondering, how do they factor into your healing methods or your teaching methods or your daily life or even your connection with nature, and not just the stones in your house, but the stones all around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm so grateful for the connection with the stones. I work with them in a number of ways. I have people who come for healing treatments, and I do on the body treatments and also use sound healing in conjunction. So I play gong and I have a singing bowl and some other sound, you know, chimes and things like that that I use, but the gong is definitely center stage. And I also make elixirs. I have a apothecary where I make different elixirs, and in the elixirs, it's an alchemy of stone medicine and plant medicine that I've made. Sometimes it's tinctures, but sometimes it's also just flower essences or herbal vinegars that I've made. And then I make like warm stone medicine tonics for the women's circles. I have a new moon gathering in my house, the dark moon, so the night before the new moon every month. And I always serve a stone medicine tonic. Mm. So those are some of the ways that I work with the stones on a daily basis. I mean, they're just everywhere. I put them on my body. I sleep with them. I have some under my pillow. They're just kind of like a part of my life. And my daughter is 6 and a half, almost 6 and a half. And she's definitely grown up with the stones. I mean, full on. And she's so in love and has such a connection. So it's so beautiful to witness how my connection has inspired her connection. But I can really feel that her connection is her own authentic individual relationship. And whenever we're in nature, you know, she goes out and like tries to find me quartz in our driveway, or she's always bringing me little rocks from our garden.
So sweet.
Yeah. And she's like, Mama, I have a stone for you. I brought you stones. But yeah, I mean, everywhere I go, stones, I've done this for a long time. I mean, if I go somewhere special and I want to remember a place and I feel like it's appropriate, you know, I'll bring a small stone from that place. It doesn't have to be a fancy crystal or a certain mineral composition. You know, I just end up carrying them. And since I can remember flying, I've always flown with like my pouch of stones and my tinctures. And, you know, like it's just a part of my day-to-day reality.
Beautiful. I remember one time I spent the night at a friend's house and I brought some stones to put under my pillow. And then the next morning she's like, oh my God, what is that? Cause she was like, I was like, oh, it's just this amethyst. But she like, it like affected her sleep. And you know, everyone's got a different, I guess she had never slept with her stone. I don't know. But,
well, I will say, I mean, I think you were onto something there. I feel like you were about to say everyone has a different like reaction to the
Yeah, stones. Definitely.
And it's true. I mean, yeah, amethyst as a whole is deeply healing, but that doesn't mean it's going to work the exact same way for everyone. And sometimes, I mean, I've met people who are like really repulsed by hematite. But like, I can't imagine that because I just see her. I mean, we're taught in the Taoist lineage that hematite is the great grandmother stone. So it's like, how can you be repulsed by the great grandmother? Mm-hmm. You know, but I just know we all have our different affinities.
Mm-hmm. And so I want to know, in working with the actual, so I know you're in connection with the little people, you know, the elves, the nature spirits, there's so many names in every different culture has a different name. The Kuntumble, when we speak with Liv, she brings the Kuntumble. And do you, I want to hear about your connection with the little people and also your connection with the people of the stones. Like, what, because I've heard about how you use them, but what is it that really, what qualities or experiences describe how you actually have conversations with these stone beings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
because I know it's not like a linear word. Hey, let's sit down and like talk. So that's why I'm really curious, and I'm asking you to put the like something into words that doesn't have words. So just go for it.
Well, I'll start with the little people and the nature spirits. My connection with them, I feel like it's an area where I don't fully I'll be more specific. My logical mind does not fully understand it. Mm-hmm. And the logical mind wants to understand more. Like, I want to understand more, like, about the different little people nations. Like, who are they? And how do they vary by look? And where are their origin points? And, like, you know, my logical mind really wants to, like, know all of that and mm-hmm. know, like, what are their preferred offerings depending on what nation they're from and that sort of thing.
Right, like someone would make a nice like little book and charts and stuff. Yeah. You're like, yeah.
but my connection with them is just, it feels so about the heart and the heart center. I'll never forget meeting Liv, which was actually when you and I met as well, mm-hmm. at Spirit Weavers last June. And the moment she started channeling their language, I was just like weeping with remembrance. Mm-hmm. And it was so familiar. And, you know, going back to those times when I was a teen, I had been around channels and all of that. And so channeling was nothing new. I come to it curious, but I also come to it very questioning, mm-hmm. you know, because there's so many different channels out there, and I really look for integrity and authenticity in channeling. And when Liv began, it was just like hairs and goosebumps rising mm-hmm. and weeping, like just knowing it was a beautiful emotion of remembrance and longing. And every time they come through her, it feels like so familiar, so sacred. It feels like home in many ways. And I just feel so blessed to be able to have those opportunities. And really, I feel like one of the greatest teachings that I continually take away from the messages that come through the little people is just how to live in right relation with the earth and all of the beings, mm-hmm. and how to really slow down more and more, yeah. and just be present and not like charge through life so aggressively, because it's really the way that we're brought up in this culture is everything is like very young. It's very forward moving, forward momentum, me, me, me. I mean, even in spiritual communities, you know, there's a lot of that energy.
What are your spiritual goals?
Yeah, it's like all about achieving, and there's a lot of pressure on us right now on the planet to, like, particularly with social media and all these different realms, everything is becoming more transparent. So there's now an even added pressure to be like certain things, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like every time the little people come through, it's like just that reminder, it's all good. Like, be in the moment, be here now, be present, be grateful, listen to the birds, like hear the wind blowing, feel the earth below you. Like, there's so much that is here for us now, and how can we really honor that? So that is really like how I feel about the little people, and also just that they continually teach for us to just become more and more humble. And that is just such big, that's such a big learning for this time as well, is like how to show up humble. So yeah,
humble and open.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm really grateful for what they bring, and also to live and all of what she sacrifices and how she works so hard to show up in authenticity, and also just really being this beautiful model of self-care and really taking good care of herself as she's this channel for the divine.
Mm. I think what you've said is so on point for all nature spirit medicine, which is that slowing down, that checking in, and that being present with what's here instead of always thinking of your goals or the future or what next, and they help you really enter into that space of expansion and presence in the now. And that's what's so beautiful and special about stone medicine, nature spirit medicine, little people and their wisdom. And they, and you're right, they are always like checking in and talking about, it's always messages about that. And it's like, yep, on point. All right. Noted. So, would you say with this stone medicine, I mean, stones are very slow beings. They're not made. I mean, some of them can be made quickly, but for the most part, it's a very slow process. And the cycles of stone through the earth's crust and back up and wherever the stones end up being is very slow. So I'm wondering if there's any hallmarks or significant qualities or messages that you feel come from the stones as a whole or from specific stones that you want to share about.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think you really captured it beautifully about them being slow. They're really about permanence. You know, they last. Like if I were to give my daughter a stone, that stone will still exist for her great granddaughter, assuming no one loses it, you know? But there's a real level of permanence with a stone or a crystal. And I love that about stones. I mean, they're ancient and they connect us to ancient wisdom, and they ask us to slow down. And when we're using them through Dallas Stone Medicine, we work with like an elixir for a few months in an ideal realm, because it takes at least a few months for that medicine to go into what we call the yuan layer of the body, this deeper, deeper layer of who we are. Stones are, they teach us so much about time and space and ordering and structure. And I really feel like as a whole, I see them, I mean, it's hard to see them collectively as one being. I really see each stone like labradorite or sulfur or quartz crystal. I see each one of them having their own sentient being. And so when we have a piece of rose quartz, we can tap into the sentient being of rose quartz. And I feel like I feel like these beings are really big. Like I feel like they're like long and like really tall. I mean, I'm just going based on my relationship with them, but they feel like really big and very, as a whole, like very gentle. And I would say one way to sum up all stones is I think that they're about transmission of other places and spaces. It's hard for me to not separate. I see so many different stones coming from different planets or off-planet places, and they're sort of coming through to give us flavors and information.
So wait, just to be clear, you see the like the stone being the consciousness behind the stone that coming through from other places, but the stone itself would be from the Earth. Or well, do you see? Yeah, interesting.
I don't. It's hard for me to separate. Like I feel in my heart, Earth is like a melting pot of many, many different planets.
And seeded, perhaps seeded.
Yes, like consciously seeded by many different beings. And so, yeah, I see the stones as a reminder of like the different places Earth came from, and as like almost like a roadmap as to what other places were. And I think that we can use them depending on which ones they are, but I believe they transmit information about those places. The other thing about stones, particularly like crystal clear quartz, is like a time capsule. So you can store data in it. I mean, all of our computers have quartz in them, so we're using that already. But
and clocks.
But you know, people believe that there have been peoples in ancient past that have downloaded information into quartz and left them for different times in the future so that there would be records of information.
Yes, and that I mean, I feel like it doesn't have to be any specific type of stone, but I've seen that come through, especially in like Lemurian quartz. Mm-hmm. And I've felt those. Oh my gosh. So do you work with those?
Lemurian quartz?
Or
yeah,
record keepers?
I do.
All of them?
Yeah.
All the above?
Yeah. All of the above. Yeah. I also have these little like quartz. They're called seed quartz.
Oh yeah.
They're from China, and they're also like the Lemurian quartz, but they're from China. So these record keepers come from other places, including Lemuria. But anytime you look at a clear quartz and you see kind of like those barcodes on the side, yeah, like that's a record keeper of some kind.
Ooh.
And then the other thing that I think you will geek out on this, Natalie, is that our pineal gland, which sits in the center of our brain, is actually made up of three crystals.
Whoa. What are the three crystals made out of? Like, do you know what elements they're made out of?
Well, I know the names of the crystals.
Okay, cool.
I mean, if you want to really geek out, I could like pull out my stone medicine book and like look up the mineral content. Maybe that's like another podcast.
Or maybe that's the secret episode. We take it there. What are the names of them?
Calcite,
mm-hmm,
apatite, and magnetite. And mm-hmm, so basically, like, our DNA is liquid crystal. And we can... It within our DNA, it's just a bunch of different programs that we're storing. And so we have the ability to alter these programs. And this is so much of, I don't know if you've ever listened or read anything by Bruce Lipton, but like that's some of the stuff he talks about. And mm-hmm, it's just really fascinating. I really, really, really love stones. And I think that we only know probably like 1% of what we're actually capable of doing with them.
Yeah, I get that sense too. And anyone who's known me for any number of years has seen my stone relationships. And it's so interesting that what can happen, like, so anyone listening could tap into this, and I'd be curious to hear what your method is too, but you can literally sit, meditate for a moment, just get into a clear space, and then hold a crystal or a rock in your hand and notice the subtle things that show up for you. And that's showing you an initial entry into the medicine of that stone. And I don't know, do you have anything to add to that? Because I think like that's a really great entryway, but I'm curious to hear what your methods are for, say, working with the record keepers, for hearing, for deciphering what they hold, or for understanding what medicine a stone brings to a situation.
Yeah, I think what you said was really beautiful. And I also, one way that I like to work with a stone, I know from in the Taoist lineage, we're taught that, you know, you sit with a stone, and if you're holding it for about at least 22 and a half minutes, it really will start to merge with you. And I've felt that. So if I really want to connect deeply with a stone, that's one of my favorite ways, is to hold it in a hand, or you can place it on a certain part of the body, that you feel drawn to, and allow it to merge, and you can get a lot of information from the stone that way. I'm the kind of person, when I receive feelings, and I receive like concepts, and concepts isn't really the right word. The phrase I would use are thought packages. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's going to make sense
like
to
a gestalt
people. Yeah, no. Maybe so.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Keep going. I'm curious about this thought package idea.
Yeah. So I get like, it's like a download. It's like a stream of consciousness package of ideas. And so I'm not the kind of person where like I hear a name or anything like that. Like, I know some of my stone friends, they literally hear the stone speaking to them, and the stone will be like, my name is Larry and blah, 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 you know, that's not the way I receive. Every single person, we all have our different ways. Some people receive visual images. Some people feel it's more kinesthetic, or they receive the thought packages, like I was describing. Some people hear auditorily, you know, so we all have different gifts, and every single human being has at least one. And for me, it's really about a sensation of feeling and then the thought package. And sometimes I see also in my third eye, I get specific visions as well, but that really depends on the stone. It's, you know, the way I like to bond with a stone, it really depends on which stone it is.
Interesting.
So yeah, like I have this piece of labradorite that is new to me, that was a Mother's Day present from my husband and daughter, and it's pretty big, particularly for a labradorite. And so right now it's just hanging out with me, sitting next to me. And like, I took a bath. Today is the Gemini new moon when we're recording. Mm-hmm. So I took my new moon bath earlier today, and I had the labradorite like right in front of me, like a TV screen. Cause I really feel like labradorite is one that really you can gaze into and receive information. But they're like pets in a way, in the sense that you just, they hang out with you, and they might sit in your lap, or, you know, you might bring it in the car or everywhere you go. Like that's how they are with me. I feel like they are my friends.
And they are.
They are. Mm-hmm. They are. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I once felt this crystal calling to me. I was like, where are you in the world? And it was this, it's sitting over there looking at me. And I was like, where are you? And it's like, you feel them. You can feel them like, oh, this one does want to go adventure. It's so weird. It's like hard to describe, and it sounds so funny, but it's like, oh, actually this one would like to go on this road trip.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I'm traveling this summer, and I already have certain stones have told me like, you're bringing me with. And there's this piece of, I have this really large piece of citrine that this, beautiful woman gifted me, I think it was in February or March of this year, and it's quite large and it's really heavy. And she gifted it to me, and I was invited to come teach some women about the gong and how it's this healing modality and how sound healing works. And the piece of citrine was like, I'm coming with you. And I was like, okay, I already have this like large gong and stand that I'm like packing up. And, you know, of course I can add like a large piece of citrine into the mix. It's not a problem.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, I will say that I brought that citrine, and there was one particular woman that like really received something from the citrine. Mm-hmm. And I observed that, and I was like, you know, this is why we need to listen to these messages, even if they might sometimes sound odd, or we may not actually want to carry something heavy and risk it breaking, or, you know, it sometimes there's a higher plan. And I could really feel how that woman, you know, she was uplifted from her experience. And so it was a gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And how, so I'm curious, and maybe some of our listeners are curious too, how do you like to take care of your crystals and stones? Do you do clearings with them or charging or any of that kind of stuff?
I do. I mean, as I've mentioned a couple times, I work with the Taoist lineage. Mm-hmm. And so my teacher, Sarah Thomas, she studies with Jeffrey Yuen. And I'm really fingers crossed, hoping that I can make it to meet with him this winter. He's offering a workshop that I want to join. But he's this Taoist priest. And the lineage has been passed down through oral tradition for over 88 generations.
Wow.
And yeah, it's like very powerful and sacred because they kept this within his family's lineage. And he's a bit of a rebel. I mean, he said his family asked that he not take the teachings out of the family, but he really felt like the earth and humanity needed it for these times. And so he brought it out of the closet, brought it out of hiding. So before I was in the Taoist lineage, I cleansed my crystals probably in ways that many people do. I would put them in a tub of water. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I would, if I could, running water like at a creek or something, and I might like put them out in the moon. These days, I keep them cleaned. Particularly, I have certain stones that just are for treatments with clients. Mm-hmm. So those I'm like really impeccable with. They get cleaned every time they've been used in a treatment. And some of them like to be cleaned. A lot of stones like to be cleaned on quartz, on a quartz bed. Hmm. Some like to be cleaned on hematite. And some prefer to be cleaned in running water for 20 minutes. So it really varies on which stone I'm working with. And some will, like quartz, can be cleaned and charged on hematite. So some you can kind of do this both at once.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I will take a stone out, particularly like hematite. A good place to clean and charge that is you can bury it in the earth mm-hmm. overnight. So
just remember where you put it.
Exactly. Like mark the spot. Mm-hmm. But I'd say like when in doubt, you can't go wrong burying a stone overnight because they come from the earth and the earth will clean them for sure. And a lot of stones love to be cleansed in running water for 20 minutes. So you can do that at home. You can have a water fountain, or you can do it like in a sink, or you can also do it like in a stream. Just make sure they're in a bag, like a net bag,
mm-hmm.
so that they don't wash away in the river or the stream.
Would you know that from experience?
Actually, I haven't had it firsthand,
nice.
But I have heard of it from other people. So I've heard it from other people's experience. Mm-hmm. I have lost stones. And I will say, One cool thing about stones is that they do jump timelines, mm-hmm. and they do jump from people to people. So they are really like they're beings. And so sometimes you might lose a stone and you're like, I just don't understand how I lost that. Like, I know that I had it. And I've had that happen. And they will literally like go find another person.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah, like if they're done, like if you're, you know, you've had your time with them, they'll go find someone who needs to work with them. So they're really powerful.
Yeah, I think in that statement too is something for people to remember is they're not possessions, they're their own beings, and they're exactly. just our partners in this lifetime.
Yeah, they're definitely their beings, and they deserve to be honored as so, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, how would you describe what's happening when you clean and charge a stone for someone who might not have ever thought about this, or maybe mm-hmm. who does it but hasn't really considered, like, what's really happening there?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll say overall, we're going to that they're beings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think ultimately, like, the stone can take care of itself on a certain level. But particularly if you're using a stone for healing, it's good to clean it after, because whoever was holding it or whoever's body it was working on, it's going to help pick up anything from a parasite. A parasite it can be on many levels. You know, a parasite could be like an internal parasite, but it could also be like an entity.
Mm-hmm.
So the stone will help pick up anything that is not of the exact essence of who that person is, and it will help you transmute it. So the stone will pick it up, and then if you clear the stone, you clear out any thing that is not the pure essence of the stone, then it has been cleansed. And then when you charge it, it's like you're giving it this voltage, this radiance, for it to do its job really efficiently again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Radiance. I like that.
Yeah. And like full moons can be a good time to charge stones, but like for instance, labradorite loves to be cleansed and charged in rainbows.
Ooh.
So you have to have some crystals hanging that are giving off rainbows, or if you have the ability to like find a rainbow, that will definitely be the most ideal. But you know, at the end of the day, I don't get too hung up. Like if I can't give it the exact thing, I'll cleanse it in some running water, or mm-hmm. I'll bury it and I'll just trust that it's all good. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying that so that listeners feel like, you know, they don't have to worry about it so much. Right. You just do in the way that will actually work for your life too.
I just want to say, I like to be cleansed and charged in rainbows too.
Right?
Yeah, I'm like, that sounds awesome. I think I want like a giant rainbow party in my room. I've had that before. I'm like, I gotta bring that back. So you know, we've gotten really deep into stones, but you also do sound medicine and with gongs and crystal bowls and such. What attracted you to that? Like, why sound?
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, first of all, the universe, the multiverse is all everything is light and sound.
Mm-hmm.
So when we want to heal, we want to work with light and sound. And so that's why I work with crystals and the gong, because that feels like the way to really bring both in a way that I gravitate towards. But I'm trained in the tradition of Kundalini yoga, and we are taught how to play the gong in our teacher training. And I was always intimidated by the gong before my teacher training. I was like, whoa, I can't, that feels too immense.
Mm-hmm. It's a big sound.
It's a big sound and it's powerful, you mm-hmm. know, and when I was in my training, I was like, when I first played the gong, I just knew that this was one of my modalities of, you know, one of my tools to share with the world. And I am so deeply in love with the gong. I mean, it's the most powerful and simple way to clear the nervous system, to strengthen and align the glandular system, the endocrine system, which is where our chakras are. And it also clears the subconscious mind. Hmm. So these programs that we pick up in the womb, or we pick up in, you know, media culture or whatever, the gong will actually go in and clear those programs in a way that's really gentle. And so, yeah, I'm just in love with the gong. It's my gong goes everywhere with me almost, and it's quite large. But
like in the grocery store, it's in the child seat.
Yeah, but it's so powerful. And I have people who come to my yoga classes who know nothing about Kundalini yoga or nothing about yoga. And across the board, people are always like, oh my gosh, and the gong, like, they're just like, they don't know what else to say, you know, because it transforms us. And, it's really protective and really healing. And so it's another tool for these times that just helps us stay sane with all of the pressures we have and all of the different kinds of technologies. The gong will help our nervous system smooth out from the fraying of the technologies.
Mm. And this might be a far out question, but given your history, I'm wondering if there is a connection, if you feel for your particular gong that it brings through any specific, if it essentially is a channel for any specific group of beings, or, you know, like you said, when you were younger, you would stare at the Pleiades. Do you feel like it's connected to some sort of ETs or some other beings?
Yes, I do.
Are you willing to share who, or is this more of a private thing?
Well, I'll say a generalization that, sure, I think that it's beings from a higher place in Sirius. But yeah, it's pretty powerful. I mean, there are times where I'm playing the gong and I go out. Wow. Like, you know, where I'm like, whoa, how long was I playing for? I really work hard to stay grounded and present while I'm playing it. But it's so, you know, it just goes through. In Kundalini yoga, we see the body as this 10-body system, and it goes through all 10 bodies. Mm. And it really, really cleans and smooths. And it's like these waves. When you play the gong, it's like you're playing all of the sounds of the multiverse at once.
Wow.
And so it's we call it gong re-sound healing. So R-E-S-O-U-N-D, re-sound, because it's not just a sound, it's a re-sound. Mm. It's a reverberation through time and space.
Wow, that you can just sit with that one for a while.
Yeah.
Do you have any recordings of your gong? Do you think the effect is still the same with the recording? Well, I don't think it's the same, but do you think there's still an effect, or is it?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think it can be beneficial. And I used to have an ability to download a gong track from my website. I took that down because I just feel like I don't have access to the best recording of, you know, equipment. Mm-hmm. I think if I had really high-end recording equipment, I could record a session that I would feel really good about.
Anyone in Asheville who's listening, yeah, holler at Rama.
Yeah, you just don't get the same effects as you do live, because you feel it.
The
live
vibration, yeah.
Yeah, the vibration runs through the entire room. And that's the part that is so amazing.
Yeah. I've been to a gong thing here. There's a Buddhist temple here, and I went to a gong. It was actually someone who was from out of town who came, but It was intense. And actually, this is such a weird thing to say, but it, I feel like it was too intense for me, but there was a lot of gongs. I feel like one gong that mm-hmm. would be the one. And there was actually like 7 or 8 gongs being played, and it was beautiful. But afterwards, I did not feel good.
Yeah. Well, I'll say, Natalie, there is a such thing as bad gong playing. I'm not saying that that's what you experienced.
It might have been.
It's good for our listeners to hear this because the gong can, if it's not played with the person who's playing, should be in a state of meditation. Mm-hmm. And I am taught to chant mantra while I play. So through Kundalini Yoga, that's how we're trained. We actually have an invocation to tune into the gong before we even start playing. So it's like, you know, I give the gong my offering of my sound current where I tune into it. And I don't make a big deal about it. You know, my mm-hmm. students don't hear it, but I only play after I've tuned into the gong. And then while I'm playing, I am mentally chanting mantra the entire time with my navel moving. So the yes. thing is if we're not doing that, the gong player is playing their subconscious mind into the gong. And then that is what the entire room is receiving. We don't need more of that no. on the planet.
And I definitely feel like that's what happened. And it was my first gong experience. And I feel like the only way I want to do gong ever again is with something like what you do in that space of integrity and allowing it to be the gong song and not your subconscious song coming through.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I'm glad to know that because it took me a few hours to feel better, at least, if not days, but it was intense.
Well, yeah, then you are describing the exact scenario of unconscious gong playing, which can be very dangerous, particularly for a woman who's pregnant.
Wow.
Because while a baby is developing in the womb, it affects their development in the womb to be in the unconscious gong plane. As an adult or as a human being outside of the womb, we have more ability. You know, it might take us a few days to clear it out all the way. Mm-hmm. But for a baby in the womb, it can actually be quite dangerous. Wow. So a lot of Kundalini teachers are taught, do not ever play gong with a pregnant woman. And I asked my teacher, Hari Jeevan, once I was like, you know, can I play gong for pregnant women? And he was like, well, why not? And I explained what I had heard. And he said, well, as long as you're playing well, of course. But if you're not, it's actually quite dangerous. So, you know, he's a funny man. So he was assuming like, of course you'll play consciously, but not all people will. Mm. And so because of that, it's important. But pregnant women actually need gong more than anyone because they're programming the next generation wow. of humans. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you say, interesting. This is real. I'm loving this. Okay. And it's interesting because the area that actually felt like I had knots and tangles was in my womb space, in my second chakra, a little bit up into the third. And it was like so tangled and tight. It was terrible feeling. And so that's so interesting that you say that. And so for women who are pregnant, would you say what guidelines would you give them? Would they be able to play the gong themselves in a good way? Or like what's the protocol?
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, if they're in a community where they can find like a good Kundalini class where there's gong and then like talk to the teacher and ask the teacher, what do you do? Like, and just don't tell them like, you know, what you're looking for, but ask them how they play.
And ask them to be like, what are you doing with your awareness and consciousness while you're playing? Like, that's
you gotta get specific, right? If you're talking to them, because they might be like, I prefer just play it.
Right. But like, don't tell them that you know that they need to like be really conscious. Like, let them tell you that. Because if they don't tell you that, that would be a red flag for me. Mm. And I would also say go by your gut. And I think that this is for anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're in a room and there's gong playing that makes you feel really bad, you have every right to leave. Now, on that point, I will also say that sometimes we're resistant to subconscious clearing. Mm-hmm. So there's like a fine line. I mean, obviously what you went through was an actual bad experience with the gong, but sometimes we can feel uncomfortable.
Thank you so much
especially
for listening.
Maybe the first
you
couple times we're hearing
our
gong
secret
playing,
episode for
it's
free
that's
at
so different, particularly with all the vibrations
secret.
Running through our bodies.
And I recommend
so
that
if you're
anyone
feeling a little
ever done
but
sound
you know
bathing
you're safe,
or been to a
that's
gong
okay. Like that's a sign to stay
or a
and
gong
see if you can breathe
ceremony
into
or anything
that
to do
space
with
and let your body just
those,
settle more.
Because
if you
healing
fight
methods
the gong,
that involve
will,
sound. To definitely listen
it can
to this
be hard
secret episode
really,
and especially listen to
you.
It if you are pregnant
so
or planning
all of this
on getting
comes
pregnant.
Down to intuition
yeah, there is some
and
very important
ourselves.
Information that Rama shares
generally
that I never
speaking,
knew about
though,
that's really
most
super
players are good.
Helpful
now I can't
to
speak to people
who is
don't who aren't
going
trained through Kundalini yoga because
right.
honestly I don't know what
occurring.
They're doing and
so
I
that again
be very,
is dreamfreedombeauty.com
you know,
slash secret and you can get those
skeptical in those
free
situations.
Secret episodes there mm-hmm. and
yeah,
I look forward to
I'm gonna
bringing y'all another episode
find
next
a Kundalini
week
yoga
thank you
gong player I'm like yeah I want to give this another try and test it out
yeah test it out try it over and you know next time you come to Asheville come have some gong with me.
Yes, that would be amazing. Thank you. And you know, I think this conversation has really helped me heal because I was just like, I'm like, I guess I just can't do gongs. But now I feel that there's a hope, a pathway forward to test again and try in that gentle and conscious manner.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I'm so glad we got to speak about this because it's something that needs to be discussed more and more, you know, in all communities, just really having that integrity when you have a sacred tool and how we can really, we can do harm and we have to have our conscious awareness with us when we're working with these tools.
Mm-hmm. I just had this really funny thought. I'm like, oh my gosh, this whole podcast, like every time I record a podcast, I do set intentions and I'm looking outside at my beautiful nature friends outside and I have my crystal spread here and there's one that has a face on it that laughs at me the whole time and I'm like, okay, next level is like inner chanting of a mantra the whole time. I'm like, can I even handle that? I'm like, oh my god, that's so intense, but that's a funny idea to like play with, you know. You never know, it could be integrated into all you do, and I think that's also the power of mantras. And maybe that's a good. Are you really into mantras?
Oh, of course I am.
Maybe
yes.
Let's talk about that for the secret episode.
Yeah, I'm so into that. Okay. And it is. I will say it's very possible to chant mantra 24/7. That's what. You know, not all yogis, but I'd say many yogis are working towards. Now, I'm not saying that from a place where I personally chant 24/7, but I do work with a lot of mantra. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm super interested to hear your perspective and take on that. And ooh, yes, this is fun. So how can people connect with you and what do you offer? Because you do offer so much to the Asheville community and beyond.
Yeah, well, my website is ramakaur.com. So it's ramakaur.com. And there are so many offerings. I'm such a true Gemini in that way. I teach weekly Kundalini yoga classes where I always have my gong with me. And so it's really for all levels and all abilities. I have a women's class and then I have another open general class. And then I have these regular events for women, these monthly new moon gatherings. And I do a full moon gathering about once every few months or so. And sometimes I'm at the Salt Cave downtown. And coming up, I will have one in the Pisgah National Forest. But one of the things I'm the most excited about is I'm taking a pilgrimage of women over to Glastonbury, England this summer in August. And we're going in this Leo eclipse portal because I'm super into astrology and this is going to be an epically powerful time on the planet. And Glastonbury is just this place that has been like a spiritual home for me and this body. And it's known as the heart chakra of the earth and a place where one can really deeply connect in with the goddess and all of her many faces and healing water. And so I'm really excited about that opportunity. And I have a whole website for that. It's called fallinginlovewithgaia.com.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah. Ooh. It's going to be so powerful. We're going to go to Stonehenge for 2 hours and have a private ceremony. And we're going to be working with the stones on the land, all these different standing stones from Stanton Drew to Stonehenge to Avebury. And we're going to be working with sound healing and water that people travel all over from the world to come and receive this healing water. So it's going to be like full on elemental dance with women. And really at the heart of it, it's about creating sustainable community as women and how we can take that back home and share that and spread that with other women and really create a culture of loving one another, loving ourselves, and stop with all of the subtle like bullshit of trying to like compare and contrast and cut each other down.
Yeah. And that's only cutting yourself down on the inside, not helping anyone.
It's true.
Is there a deadline sign up date for that?
Well,
Would like people to contact you before? I mean, yeah, the trip is in August, so.
Yeah, it starts August. Yeah, we start August 7th. I mean, in an ideal world, like July 7th. But I purposely did not create a deadline because I know how these things go. When you have like a really big trip, which is a large financial investment, a large time investment, you always have some people who really want to go, who are kind of eyeing it, but they're like, I can't afford it, or I can't afford the time. And they're creating all these mental prosperity blocks, why they can't do it. And then when they like realize like, oh, it's only like, a month away, and I'm actually really supposed to be there, and I'm going to make it happen. So yeah, when it's full, it will be full. And we have, about 4 spaces available. So I trust that it's really about the community of who's coming together and who the women are. And I'm really trusting that because spirit has like woven the whole thing. And I am just blessed to like witness this whole container that is being created.
Wow, beautiful. So anyone interested who feels the call, who feels the pull, you can go to fallinginlovewithgaia.com and check that out. Sounds great. And we'll have all the links to all that on the show notes page too, in case someone needs a little help remembering all that. And well, I guess we'll be talking in our secret episode about mantras and who knows what else. And people can go to dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret to get that. And I have so enjoyed your gentle presence and energy. And I'm just, it's really awesome to just sit in connection with your beingness. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Natalie, for this opportunity and for your presence and the sacred container you create for this podcast and all you're doing out in the world. It's really needed and so appreciated. So thank you.
Thank you all so much for listening. And remember, you can pay it forwards by shouting us out on Instagram or leaving us a review on iTunes or going to patreon.com/dreamfreedombeauty and contributing a monthly donation. And you can also go to dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret to get that secret episode. And until next time, I hope you have a beautiful week. Thank you all.